the planning committee is there to consider applications. The Isle of Man submit around about 1,400 applications every year. Around 20% of those applications are considered by the committee. The committee structure is 7 members. One of those members is the political member, and that is the chair, and currently that position is held by myself. The other 6 members are lay members, and they have a term of 5 years on the board.
And you mentioned that it's about 20% of the applications that ends up in front of the planning committee. What constitutes something to go to the planning committee versus not going to the planning committee?
Well, there's different types of applications. Obviously, we have full applications, we have a change of use, approval in principle, approval of matters reserved in previous applications, or a variation in conditions. Most of the time, those applications would come to the committee if there's been objections or if it needs more. The controversial applications normally come to us for consideration. When they come to the committee, we also look at different parts of legislation. So it's quite a wide remit of actually the roles we actually have to undertake as the planning committee.
You spoke about the structure of the planning committee, but what is the structure of the planning system itself? Because it seems like quite a complex animal.
Yeah, there's 3 arms to it, really. There's part of the planning process is undertaken within the Cabinet Office that look at policy, but most of the planning regulations and legislation will be undertaken within DEFA, and the planning committee fall under that department's remit. There's 2 consultations out at the moment, which people may be interested in. There's one around the definition of the development order, which opened on the 30th of July, 2024, and that particular consultation will close on the 23rd of October. And the one that's quite important, I think involves a lot more people, is the permitted development review. That one's currently under consultation as well. That opened on the 10th of June, and that one closes on the 2nd of September. This particular piece of legislation, you know, this enables people to actually, you know, look at greenhouses, garden sheds, small things that could be undertaken under the permitted development order 2024. And that might also include small extensions of dwellings. But I would ask people just to check legislation and guidelines before carrying out any of those sort of works that are permitted under permitted development orders.
Why does something get escalated to the planning committee and isn't just decided by the planning officers themselves? Because if it is strictly adhering to legislation, then there can't be much deviation to that, can there?
Well, there is so much planning legislation and guidelines out there. And there is, at the moment, there's around about 32 different consultees in respect of any planning application under consideration. So any of those could trigger the matter being escalated to the planning committee. We also have the Isle of Man Strategic Plan 2016, which is quite a weighty document. But that also, you know, talks about the environment policy on the Isle of Man. That talks about the housing policy. In addition to all that, we also have the Town and Country Planning Act 1999 and 2019 and the Building Control Act 1991. So there's various reasons why an application will be escalated to the planning committee. But when it comes to the planning committee, we have to give each application full consideration. Any objections, but also considering the wider sort of impact that application will have on the Isle of Man going into the future.
And just like you said, there is lots of weighty documents that feed into planning legislation. Do you find it difficult to navigate that legislation, or is it fairly easy to check those tick boxes and know if something complies or not?
No, as a member of the planning committee, what normally happens is we would get a planning pack around 5 days before a sitting. We would then go through it as members. We'd write our own notes. The officer would be making a recommendation to accept the application or refuse it. Now, normally, say, for example, an application is down for approval. If the committee was minded to go against the officer, then we have to have quite strong grounds to do that, because we have to remember all planning applications are also subject to an appeal stage later on down the line.
Do you ever feel like the planning committee gets an unfair reputation? Because there's often comments about decisions that are made. But if you're strictly adhering to legislation, then in some ways it's almost out of your hands.
Well, I think there is slight confusion because everybody ties all planning decisions with the planning committee, and that isn't correct. As I've mentioned, the Cabinet Office is involved, DEFRA is involved. There's hundreds of officers involved behind the scenes, all making different decisions. So if we take one example, for example, one that's been in the headlines recently is around about the QE2 high school and those mobile classrooms. Now, from a planning committee's point of view, we actually received the planning application just 5 days before the sitting on the 5th of August. Now, we know that that application was originally submitted on the 8th of May 2024. But as I've said, there's over 32 different consultees that has access to an application. In respect of that particular application, I know one of my colleagues said that the application came in late. And I think that was a valid point because we know that the new school term starts at the beginning of September. So if we were minded to have a site visit or if we were minded to defer the decision for the next sitting, we would have only had one sitting available between the actual the new school term starting. So it was really close up to the deadline.
I just want to look at a comment which was made recently by a Douglas councillor on another planning application that was rejected recently, which was on the Port Erin Guest House. That conversion was rejected. He says planners have unintentionally made the affordable housing problem they aim to fix worse. Planning authorities need to get out of the way of those building homes. Is that fair to say when the issue with that was the commuted sum, which, like you say, is set out in the Isle of Man Strategic Plan 2016?
Yeah, in that policy 5 within that document you just mentioned, it does talk about a normal requirement of 25% of the provision should be made up of affordable housing. And I don't think anyone disagrees with that. If we've got large developments on the Isle of Man, then part of that should be put aside for affordable housing. Now, in recent months, I have changed my mind slightly on this point, because when we are looking at affordable housing in respect of flats or apartments, then in your back of your mind, you've also got to imagine somebody getting a first-time buyer's sort of opportunity to secure one of those flats or apartments. There is in the background management charges, and none of us actually know how much those management charges will be. So it's very important that we do focus, you know, on affordable housing being proper homes on the island, and maybe not just at apartments or flats, which may have those extra costs hidden in the background. So it's very important that we do apply Policy 5. Now, in respect of that particular application, there is arguments around, was it 7 units or was it 8 units? Well, that debate will go on, I'm sure, for the appeal. And I have to be really careful because it is still a live application. And I hope it is dealt with under the appeal stage.
Would simply increasing housing supply not make housing more affordable in general, though?
I think, to be honest, the planning committee do a great job of adding more and more units. If you look at some of the schemes that we've approved in the last 12 months, it really can regenerate, you know, the likes of Ramsey, Douglas, some of our key places where people want to live and work.
Now, if we come back to your role as chair in the planning committee, you're expected to be fair and objective was, I think, the words that were described when you first got that job. But also politics is about standing up for yours and your constituents' views. Is it hard to strike a balance between those two roles?
Well, if I feel there's a conflict, then I will step aside, as I've always done since I've become the chair of planning, and I've done that on a number of occasions. I think Peel sewerage workers being one prime example of that. I stepped away because I was previously the chair of Manx Utilities. Now, I think, again, you know, the Isle of Man's a small place. We all know each other. So you've got to manage conflicts of interest very, very carefully. But I am fair. I am impartial. And I do make sure that decisions are made, you know, based on the evidence I'm presented. And I vote accordingly to trying to make the right decision for the Isle of Man. I am one of 7 members and I get to vote in every single application. The only difference is, quite from time to time, there is a member away on holiday or unable to attend. And if we go down to an even number, and that's happened quite a lot recently, if the vote is split, then I get the casting vote as the chair. And now, as a rule, I have always voted as I have voted originally. I've followed that train of thought.
And there's nothing that anyone could say to persuade you in those committee meetings?
No, it happens straight away. We normally take the vote. And then if it's a split vote, then I vote straight away. There's no time in between. I think it's absolutely the right thing to do, to be very clear and transparent, not just to the people in the room, but also to the public listening.
And just one last question. Do you think the system functions in a way that best serves the interests of the island in its current state, do you think?
I think there is, as I've mentioned before, there's over 32 consultees for every single application which could have an input into that. Some of those are government departments, local authorities. I think the planning system works very well, especially around interested party status, how an application is dealt with. Unfortunately, planning is one of those situations where there'll always be a winner, there'll always be a loser. However, I am confident that we do have a very good appeals process to listen to the evidence. And sometimes, you know, applications are overturned. But I would encourage anyone who's interested in planning to look at those two consultations, you know, around the definition of development, and also that permitted development review which are going on. If you're interested, then please, you know, go ahead and actually submit your views on that, because around 60% of applications, you know, are determined by officers. But again, we go back that we receive over 1,400 applications each year. So we do need to streamline it, and we do need to make it faster in order for the Isle of Man to progress as an island.
And is that what you would primarily be targeting, is the speed at which it happens? If you could click your fingers and change it to exactly how you would like it to be, is that how it would look? It'd just be faster, but the same system?
I would like to see it speeding up. I'd like to see more applications coming through the planning committee quicker, because we do have an excellent planning committee with a great amount of knowledge between each of the members. Some of the members have been there for many years, so their depth of knowledge is really good. And I think we should capture that to try and help the Isle of Man step forward and bring these schemes to fruition.